Good morning, everyone. Yeah. You know, it's quite interesting because we've been on a journey. We've looked at David and Daniel. And today we're going to look at Moses. Am I a bit too loud? Do I feel a bit? Can you bring it up a bit? Is that okay? Yeah. And, you know, Duncan just mentioned that we're moving to a new venue. I don't want you to take what we're doing today out of context, because Duncan is not Moses, and we're not going to the promised land, okay? but we're going to a new place, isn't it? And but there'll be no Red Sea along the road, so don't be scared, okay? Everything will be fine. But that's not why I brought that before. It's so exciting that we're going to a new venue, and God has been so good to us as a church. Isn't it amazing to move to a new venue? That's wonderful. And today, we are going to be looking at Moses. What a character. What a man. Moses is one of the few people in scriptures that it's just, you read him and you're like, what? And today, you're going to get a lot of what and wow. Okay, and I just want to warn you ahead of time, because after the preach, we're going to have a time of worship. And there's so much about Moses that it's so hard to pin it down in 20, 30 minutes. I think I've given myself a very hard job to look at a man who saw the beginning. Can you imagine? No one was there when God made the heavens and the earth. But all of a sudden, a man could see what happened. In the beginning. It's in the beginning, God. Where did he see it? How? When? No one was there when God created the heavens. But yet a man dared to see what happened in the beginning. And this is the man we're talking about this morning. The man that saw the bush burning and was not burnt. I was like, what's going on? The man that saw, you know, I've flown over the Red Sea. And I cannot comprehend how it was possible for the Red Sea to part. And people walked on dry land. My goodness, the Red Sea is not the Egyptian River. I hope you know that. It's not. It's a massive expanse of water. And this guy walked in the midst of this. Moses. What a man. That led them through that. And the Bible says that the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. I mean, that would be amazing. Can you imagine that we come to church this morning and just outside there's a cloud that covers us. And then by the time we finish, we then walk through the cloud and go outside. And then at night, as we're worshiping, as we're sleeping, the pillar of fire appears. What? That would be, I can't imagine. I think the closest is probably the northern stars that you see. I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. Can you imagine being there, seeing the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud in the morning? This is Moses that we're going to talk about. And I've just preached my message, by the way, so we can just all go. But I've just given you like a taste of what Moses is all about. And we're going to look at a few things about him. Let's just pray and then we'll just crack on. I'm so excited this morning because I believe God will speak to our heart and we'll learn so much from Moses' life. Lord, I've just painted a picture of this man, Moses. He did great things, but there was something more about him. And Lord, as we glean upon your word this morning, I ask that, Lord, you will speak to our hearts and our lives will not be the same ever again. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. So I'm going to talk about Moses in four contexts this morning. I'm going to look at the beginning of his life, what happened. And then I'm going to look at the choices that Moses made. And then I'm going to look at a critical question that was asked of Moses, and he couldn't find the answer to that question. And then, last but not the least, we then look at Moses' heart. What happened to Moses at the end of his journey? So very quickly, the first thing that you will find in the book, in books that talks about Moses, is that during the time that Moses was born, Pharaoh gave a decree that every male child should be killed. But when Moses was born, the Bible says his parents refused to hand him over. That was the beginning of Moses' life. His parents were critical to the life of Moses. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, if you go to the next slide, let's just read Hebrews 12. No, Hebrews 11, I beg your pardon. Then we'll go to Hebrews 11. And then we'll look at verse 23. So we'll just read verse 23 first, and then we'll go to the, there are a few more verses there, but we'll read that later on. In verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents saw something in him. And I just want to quickly just, you know, challenge your parents in this place. When you've got kids, what do you see in the life of your children? The Bible says that Moses was born, and they look at this boy. I'm like, no, he's not going to die. He's not going to die. We'll try everything to keep him alive. And if you've got kids, you realize that it's so hard. Maybe Johnny can give me, Johnny perhaps, and will be able to give us insight into this. I mean, it must be so hard to keep quiet at night. Can you imagine, for months, they had a baby. And for 3 months, they kept this baby. And if you watch them, but there's a film called Rise. And it's actually about a basketballer called Giannis. And if we haven't watched it, it kind of portrays a picture of it, because, you know, he had a very difficult upbringing, and the police will raid, and they're trying to find people in different places. And can you imagine, the Egyptian police will be walking up and down just trying to hear the noise of babies? And for 3 months, Moses' parents tried all they could to hide him. Because they looked at him and said, this is not an ordinary child. And I just want to encourage parents here today. You look at your child and you look at them and like, oh, maybe there's something different about this child. And maybe you're not really so keen. I'm like, maybe I don't know what's going to happen to him. But I just want to encourage you this morning that there's something different about that child that you have. And God has entrusted that child into your hand. And you need to do all you can in the place of prayer, in the place of speaking God's word over their lives, and trusting that whatever God's purposes are on their lives, they will fulfill. I'm very sure that Moses' parents would have looked at Moses and said, there is something about your destiny. There's something about your life. We don't know what is it, but we trust that you will fulfill that destiny. By faith, it was kept for 3 months. Because they saw it was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid. Today, are you afraid to, you know, rebook your child? Are you afraid that if you say something, that maybe they would not listen to you? No. His parents were not afraid of the king's edict. They were willing to do all they could for Moses. And for me, that's so powerful. And I think, if you look at what happened to the choices that Moses made in life, I believe that some of those decisions were because of what his parents did. And friends, I know people, you've got kids, and sometimes they grow up, they make that decision. That's fine. But all you can do is to teach them God's ways. And you trust that when they get to a point in their lives, they will make the right decision. And so if you're in this place and you've got kids and they have not turned out to be Christian, don't worry. Because all you need to do is just commend them to God and trust that they will come to decisions in their lives and they will remember. So your job is not to force them to do it. Your choice, Your decision is to prepare them for those times in their lives. So that when they get to those points in their life, they will make their decision. Because if you look at Acts 7, I don't have time to read that. The Bible says that it came to Moses' heart. Moses decided. His mom wasn't there. His dad wasn't there. He made a decision himself. I've got kids. And I'm like, God, they will get to point in their destiny. And I'm saying, God, when they get there, Lord, help them to make the right decisions. Because I won't be there for them. All I can do is just to prepare them for that. And so, parent, that is all you can do. Prepare your child for those times when they will make critical decisions in their life. Because you cannot be there for them forever. And for those that have gone astray, don't worry, they will come back home. That's all you need to do. The prodigal father just kept standing and waiting for that child to come back home. And one day, the child realized and came back home. The second point, very quickly. What are the choices that Moses made? What are the choices that he made? In the same Hebrews 11, let's pick it from 24 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invincible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea on dry land. And when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. When he had grown up, Moses made a decision. He refused. You see, sometimes when I read scriptures, I always pay attention to some words there. I just felt like Moses just stood up. No, I am not Pharaoh's daughter's son. By faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And now I want to paint a picture very quickly. That as a prince in Egypt, Moses would have had access to everything. Moses would be able to do whatever he wanted to do. But he got to a point in his life and he said, no, I refuse to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made the decision in his life. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather. Now, if you look at it, the word says rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, friends, sin is pleasurable, but it's fleeting. It is temporary. Moses felt like, no, this thing might look so nice today, but I have a greater destiny. Moses saw something about his life and felt like, no, I cannot do this because of destiny. Friends, you can't do everything everyone does. There's something different about your life. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And I think that was a moment in Moses' life where he felt like, no, others can. I cannot. Perhaps Moses would go out every night. Because he's a prince, he could do what he liked. And he got to a point and he said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. And for me, it's so important, it's so critical for my life when I read Moses. And I ask myself, Lord, I cannot be like every other person. I've got to be different. I've got to be. Others may, but I cannot. I cannot. There's something pressured about my life. I can't just do things like others. I refuse to be known because I'll make a decision. And friends, I don't know about you. Do you have friends that are not Christians? Do you feel like a fish out of water? Do you feel like you are the only person among your friends that is actually a Christian? And you wonder and ask yourself, how am I going to cope? How am I going to show that I'm different? Be encouraged today that Moses refused to be known. He could have decided that, look, I can do all I like, but he said, but no. But if we look at it, it's so funny that everything he did, if you look at verse 26, because Moses was in the Old Testament, and then you ask yourself, what happened to him? There was something he realized, and Hebrews is so helpful to help us understand. The Bible says in 26, he regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. That the treasures of Egypt, but for the sake of Christ, he refused everything. And I want to urge you this morning that when you want to make decisions, look at the sake of Christ. And for the sake of Christ, this is what I'm going to do. For the sake of Christ, I refuse to do that. For the sake of Christ, I refuse the treasures of Egypt. Friends, Egypt has got treasures. Egypt has got treasures. Living only in this world is becoming even more difficult. There's so many distractions around us. And we ask ourselves, how are you going to live in this distraction? You need to make a decision. You must decide for the sake of Christ. This is what I am going to do. And guess what? You see, if you look at that 26, it says, for the sake of Christ was of greater value. Christ has a greater value for Moses than the treasures of Egypt. The sake of Christ. And if you're here this morning and you haven't known this person, can I urge you to consider giving your life to him this morning? There are treasures in Egypt. But for the sake of Christ, you can decide not to enjoy that. Because in Christ, there's so much to enjoy as well. You have peace, you have joy, you have hope. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. There's a joy that comes from God's presence, much more than the treasures of Egypt. In fact, Isaiah 45 says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret places. Philippians 4, my God can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. There are treasures in God as well. Egypt may have treasures, but we have better treasures. That Jesus died on the cross for my sake. That is the best treasure I can ever have. I will lay down everything for the sake of my Savior that died for me. The greater love has no man. He laid his life for my sake. How much more to give him everything? If you're in this place, you have not given him all your heart. You have an opportunity today. Let it not pass you by. For the sake of Christ. Would you say that this morning? For the sake of Christ, I'm going to leave everything. Moses decided. And friends, it was not easy. Because for the next 40 years of his life, he was wandering in the wilderness. Friends, decisions are costly. Look, if it has not cost you anything to follow God, you need to reevaluate your life. Now, I don't want to put Duncan on the spot, but Duncan used to have a day job. And if you ask him, I'm sure he would tell you he loved his day job, right? But I believe to lead a church, you have to give up something. It's costly. It cost him his job. He's not Moses. All I'm saying is that decisions to follow God, it's costly. It can cost your job sometimes. It has cost lives. People have died for this. What has it cost you to follow him? What's the cost to you?
What's the cost to you? What have you forsaken? What have you left?
He left the treasures of Egypt. When I was going through that, I said, God, what have I left for you? Do you know what happened? Peter, he got to a point. He said, Master, we have left all. We have followed you. What is our reward? Peter was a fisher of man. He was a fisher of men. It was a fisherman who became a fisher of men. He was a fisherman. He was so good at his job. And he left everything. All I'm saying this morning, guys, is that following Jesus is costly. Do not think that when you come to Jesus, everything is rosy. No. We don't preach that gospel in this church. We don't tell you when you come, oh, God will just bless you. Hallelujah. No. Following Jesus is costly. It will cost you your time. When was the last time you spent time in his presence? You come to church on a Sunday morning, praise God for you. But when was the last time you spent an hour just by yourself? Oh, I've got Sky Sport and I can watch my football. I love it. I can spend 2 hours. It's been Olympics. I could spend hours watching sport. My goodness. But I asked myself, what's the cost of my time? Do you know, rather than watch that, if I say I'm going to study the scripture, it comes at a cost. You know, economics, they talk about opportunity cost. They say it's the cost of satisfying a want at the expense of another that is equally valuable or an alternative you are trying to forego. So when I come to read scriptures, for me, it is an opportunity cost because I have to forego something for the sake of spending time in God's presence. What is it costing you every day to follow him? Do you just come here Sunday morning and that's all it costs you, 2 hours every week? And that's it. No, you're not going to grow as a Christian. No. And here we want people to mature. We want people to grow. Because Ephesians 4 talks about the maturity of the saints. We want people to mature. And the only way to mature is to spend time in his presence. Forsaking all the treasures of Egypt. The treasures of Egypt. And I'm not saying don't watch football. I'm not saying that. That's not what I haven't said that. I've said there is an opportunity cost for everything you do. And you need to decide this morning that what will be the cost of following. Matthew 16:24. If anyone will follow me. You know what it says? If you go to Matthew 16:24. You've got your Bible. Say, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. How much have you denied yourself? How much denial have you done? Yeah, people talk about fasting, but sometimes I fast not because I want to feel like fasting. I'm denying myself of food so that I can read scriptures. If you fast and you're not spending time in God's presence, it's hunger strike. Or you're just trying to be healthy for yourself. Because whatever you do must cost. If it costs you to deny yourself of food, then there must be a proportional response to that, which is spending time in God's presence. So today I want to encourage you that it's time to go deeper in God. And that is what the last 3 and 4th point are. Because when Moses saw the burning bush, and he had an encounter, the third point I was to bring to you was a question that was asked. And the question was, when he was trying to separate the people, do you know what they asked him? If you go to Exodus 3, very quickly. So before we go to Exodus 3, I just want to read Exodus 2. The Bible talks about that one day he grew up, and then in Exodus 2, verse 13 and verse 14, he said, the next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked them, why are you fighting? And then afterwards, he went out again and he saw them fighting. And one of them asked him a question in verse 14. Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? And then Moses could not find answer to that question, because he thought the people knew that he was the deliverer. But they were fighting and said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? And you know, that was a question that Moses could not answer. And what happened? He ran away. And for 40 years, he was finding the answer to that question. If you look at Exodus 3 now, after all that's happened in Exodus 3, I just want to look at verse 6. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And Moses said to God, suppose I go, the Israelite, and they said to me, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said, I am who I am. They asked him a question. Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? And Moses went back to them. I am that I am has made me. God, friends, God is the maker of men. It is God that makes men. And I want to encourage you this morning. When you look at yourself, do you feel like, yes, look at me, I'm self-made. You know, you have self-made millionaires. Self-made. That was the question that Moses was trying to find. He thought he was made, but until he came to God and said, God, I am not made. I need you in my life. And then he went back and he said, the I am has sent me. And I want to encourage you this morning that we are not made of ourselves. There was a time in scriptures where the man built storehouses. He said, let me enjoy. And God said, tonight, I will require of your life. He made us and not we ourselves. So we have not made ourselves. There's nothing of us that we've made. And I want to encourage you this morning that we are not made of ourselves. Do you think like, oh, look at how amazing I am. Oh, I've got a house. I've got a car. I've got everything I need so I can just show off. No. That's not who we are in God. God has given us all these things to enjoy, and we give him all the glory. We give him all the glory. And last but not the least, as I round up, what was Moses' encounter, and what is our hope? Goodness me, you realize the time goes so quickly. My goodness, I'm like, what? 25, 30 minutes? Goodness me. So we're going to round up now. We're going to want us to worship. And I'm really happy that we are getting to the point where I want us to really worship. And don't forget, Moses made a choice to follow God. He saw the bush burning. Afterwards, his rod became a serpent. He went to Egypt. He did amazing miracles. He got to the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted. Israel needed food. God gave them bread. They didn't even know what to call it. They called it manna. Manna means, what is this? He gave them manna in the wilderness. They wanted quail. He gave them meat as well. They wanted drink. He gave them water. Moses saw all this thing that God did in the wilderness, but Moses was not satisfied. There was something more that he was looking for. And I'm going to skip to Exodus 34. So we're going to go through Exodus 34, 30 to 35. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them the commands of the Lord. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. And whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until they came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. Now, the pretext to that place is chapter 33, which I skipped, and when you've got time, you can read that at home. It was about Moses. Despite the fact that he had seen great encounters, Moses was never satisfied. Moses was a man who pursued the presence of God. If you look at Exodus 33, from verse 13, Moses said, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, that I may know you and continue to find favor with you." That was the secret of his life. It was a man who wanted to know more of God. To the point where in verse 18 of Exodus 33, Moses dared to ask a question. Moses said, "Now, show me your glory." Moses dared to ask God to show him his glory. And when Moses had encounters in Exodus 33, anytime he's coming down from the mountain, you can see the glory of God on his face, to the point that they had to put a veil. Where's the veil? Hurry up. Because he is just coming down from the mountain and his face is radiating. And he said, "What's going to happen?" And you're looking at him. I said, "Lord, we can't look at him." And I said, "No, we need something. Quickly, quickly." And then he put a veil. My word. Over his face. Because he couldn't see the glory of God. And every time Moses would come down from the mountain, they would put a veil over his face. Because they couldn't see him, because it was radiated. And Moses felt, "Look, how great is this?" And Moses had that only encounter. But Jesus has given us something much better. Something much better. 2 Corinthians 3. Oh my word. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is so, so powerful. Now, I haven't got time to read all this, because we go off time. Now, from verse 14. "But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains. When the whole covenant is read, it has not been removed, but only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we have been transformed into his image. with ever increasing glory. If you spend time to read 2 Corinthians 3, the earlier verses, the glory that Moses saw was fading away. The glory that we have does not fade away. It's ever increasing glory. So when we worship today, God is going to transform us from one glory to another. Friends, there is no more veil. Gone. Why are you afraid to come before God? We all with unveiled faces behold it. Friends, when we worship, we behold him with unveiled faces. We are not afraid of him. And anytime we come, we have been transformed. So guys, in this place, there are different glories here. You know, we have glory degrees here. Because, look, the more you spend time in his presence, the more you become like him. Because we have been transformed. So friends, we are going to transformation every day. We have been transformed. Friends, there is no more veil. Because we've got access. Access. Access to him. And guess what? When Moses encountered God on the mountain, whoever touched the mountain would be stoned. The mountain was so holy that they could not even come near the mountain. They were so afraid. And then you ask yourself, is it possible to get something better than Moses? Yes, unveiled faces. And also, we have a mountain that we can come to. And I'm going to end with Hebrews 12. Can I get the band to come forward? Hebrews 12. I will just read verse 20, 21. It said, the sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. That is where we have come this morning. So as we worship this morning, I want your heart to be open. You have not come to a mountain that you have to be trembling with fear, but you have access to the Father. Access to him this morning. So whatever you are, wherever, whatever you're going through, just put it aside. And know that you have come with unveiled faces. You can behold him, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.